Welcome to the Language is Music podcast. On this podcast, you will hear interviews and presentations done by Susanna Zreisky, the author of Language is Music. You can find out more information about Language is Music and about how you can learn foreign languages using music and the media at Susanna's website, languageismusic.com. www.languageismusic.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast. My name is Susanna Zreisky, and I have decided to make this phone call with Fasulya and Jana because I would like to discuss why we see so few female polyglots on the internet talking about how they learn languages and why they're learning languages and how they use their languages for their daily lives. And I speak seven languages. I was born in the former Soviet Union, and I came to the United States as a child. I speak Russian, English, French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and Bosnian or Serbo-Croatian. And I've written a book called Language is Music to encourage people to use music in the media to learn languages. And I'm very passionate about having women learn languages. So, Fasulya, maybe you could introduce yourself and tell us about your language background.
Okay. Yes, my nickname is Fasulya, and I'm known on the internet under this name. And I've been learning languages my whole life long. I started learning languages in school, then I continued at university, and now I do language courses at the Adult Education Center combined with self-study of languages. I speak seven languages. My native language is German. I speak Dutch, English, Italian, French, Spanish, and Esperanto, and I'm now busy studying another language, which is Danish. I've been studying Danish for 2 years now, and I also would like to encourage other women, girls, to learn languages, and especially to learn many languages if they are motivated and to do so.
Excellent. Thank you. And Jana?
Yeah, Jana.
Jana, sorry.
It's okay.
How about you?
Okay, so my name is Jana Fadness. I'm originally from Washington State in the U.S., and I was born and raised there, speaking only English. But I was always interested in other languages as well. And I started to learn Japanese when I was 13 years old. I just started learning it on my own because I thought it was interesting. And then throughout my life, I continued to study other languages. Like, I took French in school. I took some Spanish. When I got to university, I continued to study Japanese, and I studied Chinese as well. And then pretty much as soon as I got opportunity, I went and lived in other countries. And so I lived for a year in Taiwan and 3 years in Japan as a teacher of English as a foreign language. And right now I'm actually living in France. I'm living with a French host family as an au pair, which is like a nanny. And yeah, I just love languages. And I also want to encourage other people, and especially girls and women, to learn foreign languages.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. So I'll start with the first question. How can we encourage more females to present themselves on the internet to inspire other people to learn languages? Would either of you like to start?
Yes, for example, if we are present on the internet and other females can listen to our videos or read our blogs, or and if we do networking among other people, so if we contact other females and have internet contact, and then we get to know each other, and they might think, oh, I would also like to be more present on the internet. So this could encourage other people.
Excellent. Thank you, Fasulya. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. And I think we also need to really talk about the benefits of presenting yourself on the internet, because I personally have found that like, it's actually helped me to learn languages, to be public about it. Because, you know, different people have contacted me and I've been able to, like, network with other people who are interested in language learning and get more ideas. And I've gotten, like, so much positive encouragement from people, you know. If I, like, post a video of myself speaking another language, I get all kinds of feedback from native speakers, you know, who give me encouragement and constructive criticism. And I think, I don't know, maybe a lot of people are, like, kind of afraid, or, you know, they're too shy to present themselves on the internet. But really, it's, once you do it, there are a lot of benefits to it. And so I think if we could, you know, really show people what a good thing it is, maybe more people would be willing to do it.
I think that's a great point that both of you made, because if it weren't for having found both of you through Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, I wouldn't know of your existence. So that's how we're networking, obviously. And I think about what you were saying about the benefits, that I think that one of the things that maybe keeps women from showing their languages on the internet is they think they might be bragging. And I really think that if we talk about how the languages benefit us in our lives, whether we were able to get a job because we spoke a certain language, or we were able to travel in a place of the world where we would not have been able to go had we not known the language, or if we were able to have a friendship that we could only have in a certain language, that will bring, that will make it obvious to people about what the utility is of languages, and they might be more open to discuss how languages have benefited them in their daily lives.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's really not, like, for me, it's really not about bragging. Like, yeah. You know, I'm not trying to show myself off. It's actually more about, you know, I'm trying to show people, like, I'm just an average person, you know, but I've learned languages and it's brought, like, all these positive things into my life.
I think you're right. You're right. It is about showing the positive stuff. And the fact that you specify that you grew up in a monolingual family makes mm-hmm. people realize, wow, I didn't have to be from a bilingual family. I didn't have to be from a certain part in Switzerland where, you know, I learned four languages when I'm a kid or something like that. It gives people more inspiration that they can do it. Right. How about the next question? What are the challenges that women face with languages that men might not have? I think in my instance, one of the challenges is with women and languages is that sometimes when women want to practice a language, and I know this happened when I was studying Arabic about 8 years ago, I went into a Palestinian liquor store in San Francisco. It was a Palestinian Christian family that owned this liquor store, and I went in to buy something, and I wanted to practice my numbers in Arabic because I was buying something and I needed to know how much money I needed to pay. And I was practicing my numbers, and the guy behind the counter was very, I would say, enthusiastic to help me with my numbers. But what he wanted to do was give me his phone number. That was why he was so interested in giving me his number, helping me with numbers. And a friend of mine recently told me that she really wants to practice her Spanish. And I live here in California where it's very easy to practice Spanish. But she said, when I find men to practice Spanish with, they think I'm flirting with them. But I'm really not. I just want to practice my language. And she said, what do I do? And I said, well, you know, if you think that men are thinking that you're flirting with them, then you try to practice more with women. And if you are speaking to men, you should just tell them ahead of time, look, I'm just learning the language and I'm, you know, I'm really enjoying practicing this with you, so that you make it clear that, that's your intention for speaking the language. How about you, Fasulya? Do you have any suggestions about or any comments on challenges that women face with languages that men might not have?
I wouldn't so much differentiate between men and women in that case, but I had also some frustrations. I don't know whether I'm a woman, but with Turkish, I tried to speak Turkish in Turkish supermarkets, and yes, I always got answers in German, and they were, the Turkish shopkeepers, they were irritated. They didn't know why I wanted to speak Turkish, and they couldn't imagine that I was just wanting to practice a foreign language. So this was a bit frustrating experience I had. I don't know whether it has anything to do with my gender, but maybe it's only that the Turkish people cannot really imagine that they are language learners in a country where they live. They're living a lot of Turks in Germany, for example. Just to give, it's like Spanish people in the United States. Mm. And for the rest, I don't have any special negative experience which are have to do something with my gender, but I think contacting people and practicing language, it's on the internet, it's much easier than in real life.
I find that interesting because I actually prefer to, practice my languages in real life, but I understand the frustration. If people don't want to speak to you, then obviously you have to find other avenues to practice. How about you, Jenna?
Yeah, I can't really think of anything that's particular to women as far as challenges on learning languages. I had never really thought about, what you said earlier, Susanna, but that's true. Sometimes if you try to practice languages with guys, they are wanting to get something more out of it. But, as far as, actual difficulties in learning the language itself, I don't really... I think women in general face the same kind of challenges that men face. They think that, language learning is too difficult, or, they don't have enough time, or they're not smart enough, or, the same kinds of problems that men would have, I think.
Okay. What about when children are learning languages, do you think that girls might be more timid about making language mistakes than boys are? How about Fasulya or Jana?
Well,
Jana?
Jana. I've worked as an English teacher abroad for a few years, and I've taught a lot of kids. And, I personally have never noticed any real differences between boys and girls as far as, one being more timid than the other. Now, I've actually found that they're shy kids and talkative kids of both genders, and so, personally, I haven't noticed a difference there.
Hmm. How about you?
I don't have any personal experience with children in a class situation, because I don't have children myself and I'm not a teacher. I worked at a school, but I had only the task to do the photocopying, so I did not have I wasn't allowed to be in the language lessons of the school, so I don't know how in a class of 30 pupils the boys and the girls would react, or would they be more active or less active or shy. I can't say anything from my personal experience on this topic.
Okay. I know in my experience of teaching, I have noticed that I've taught both English as a second language and Spanish. I've noticed that boys are more likely to raise their hand or speak out without raising their hand sometimes, and say things even if they're speaking with mistakes, where the girls were thinking more, or I could tell that they were processing before they wanted to speak. And I think that that might be, and it's also something similar I see in other classes, whether it's history or science, where the girls are more timid about making mistakes, where the boys will just speak, what they think is right. And I think in this case, if that is the case with girls, for example, if there are parents listening and they know that their daughters are very shy about speaking because they think they're going to make a mistake, that's where you have to bring the fun into language learning and use music and karaoke if it has to be that, or improvisation, or using theater. Because when people are having fun, they're more apt to just have fun and they don't really think that they're studying or they're learning, but they are learning in the process. And that's one of the reasons I emphasize, obviously, so much music and the media in language learning. Now, there's what we talked about is that we see that there are many more men on YouTube showing their foreign language knowledge. We see more men in the language, I think, in the language forums. And sometimes there's a competitive aspect between men who are talking about their language abilities or their language learning. And I think that that might... prevent some women from posting things on the internet because they don't want to deal with this criticism or they don't want to deal with this competitive environment. What do you think that we can do to promote women learning languages and overcome these obstacles of this competition on the internet and maybe not wanting to present themselves publicly?
Maybe I have a YouTube channel now for 2 years. I started in 2009 with my YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and I've never seen it as a competition. I always say I have contact with other polyglots and language learners via the internet, via Skype, and we always interchange our experiences and give us supportive things for our language projects, and it's a kind of networking more under people who are in the internet present and on public. And I don't think that the idea of competition is important, or it's more a kind of, if you are on the internet and people can contact you, you get more contacts with other language learners, especially with polyglots, because they aren't so easy to find in your own city. There aren't polyglots running on the street. So, therefore, the internet gives you the possibility to make contacts with people, and I think this is an advantage, and you don't have to fear that they're always comparing yourself with somebody else. Also, it isn't done that way. In my own experience.
But that's excellent that you really see it as collaboration rather than competition. That's great. How about you?
Well, it seems to me that the things that people are arguing and competing about are really, you know, they're arguing about which method of language learning is the best. You know, and so the people who are arguing are people who are wanting to promote like a certain method or a certain technique. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of these people are, you know, selling some sort of product and trying to make a profit off of their method or whatever. And those are the kinds of people that, you know, are arguing. But I think, you know, people like Fasulier and other people who are, you know, just making YouTube videos of themselves speaking languages, from those kinds of people, I do get the kind of impression that she was talking about, that people are just out there trying to encourage each other to learn languages and trying to network with other language learners and just get that kind of positive feedback. And I think if you don't go looking for the arguments, you don't have to get involved in the arguments.
Those are excellent points, that, you know, you can see the arguments out there and you can see the competition about methodology, but if you stay away from that and you really focus on showing your languages, how they benefit you, how they benefit your family, then you are really doing that to promote language learning and helping other people. Those are great points. What do you guys think the world would look like if there were more women who spoke foreign languages and more women who were open about their foreign language knowledge? I think that obviously more women would have more economic opportunities, like being able to work abroad and do international business, and there would be more women in diplomacy. Like, for example, in the United States, our first Secretary of State, female Secretary of State, was Madeleine Albright, who spoke, I think, at least five foreign languages, and then we had another Secretary of State who spoke Russian. What do you guys think are the benefits that we will see when more women are polyglots? Fasulia?
I would differentiate, because I have been in a lot of language courses throughout my whole life at university, at adult education center, and these language courses are always full of females. I would say that at least 80% of the participants of language courses are maybe at university in the philology section, or at the adult night courses, it's the vast majority of language learners in these courses that are females. There are the men in the minority situation. So I wouldn't make the statement that there are only few females speaking foreign languages or that have language abilities. I think where the females are in the minority position is among the polyglots and not among the normal, ordinary language learners.
So, but what would the world look like if there were more women who were polyglots or who expressed what languages do in their life? Like, for example, in the book Babble No More that you and I both read by Michael Arard, he only had one or two living female hyper-polyglots who were in the book.
Two.
Helen Abadzi and another woman. And even, you know, he said that he thinks one of the reasons that he couldn't find other women is because women may not be so interested in showing or bragging on the internet about how many languages they learn, whereas for some of the men it was like a competition or they really wanted to show themselves. So what would it look like if we saw more female polyglots like us on the internet and being active in the media and talking about what languages do in their lives?
I think that would be very inspirative for more that for example that girls that they have more role models, and I think it would be a very good development, and I would like to encourage this sort of development.
Good. Okay. Thank you. And Jenna.
Yeah. I agree that because I think we don't have enough really positive role models for young girls. I think a lot of the people that young girls look up to, you know, they just look up to the people who are pretty or, you know, who, you know, they're valuing the wrong kinds of things. And I think if we had more, like, you know, intellectual women or more, like, ambitious women, you know, doing things like learning lots of different languages, you know, maybe more young girls would be more encouraged to value those kinds of things. Because I think, like, women can influence young girls in a different way than men do.
I think that's a really good point about the role models. And I just learned recently from a friend of mine, we were discussing the movie Cleopatra. He was watching the movie with Elizabeth Taylor playing Cleopatra. And he said, you know, Elizabeth Taylor did not really show who Cleopatra was. And I said, why do you say that? He said, do you know that Cleopatra spoke 9 languages? And in the movie, she's shown as this seductress, you know, who's seducing Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. And I think that when people think about Cleopatra, one of the first things that comes to mind is, oh, she was a sexy ruler. She used her feminine charm and her beauty to seduce these rulers. I never learned that she spoke 9 languages. I had to actually look it up in the internet.
I didn't know that either.
You didn't know that either. So isn't that amazing how here was a powerful, powerful woman, and what do we think about her? We think of her as the seductress, not as the person who was able to use her languages to rule Egypt. And as a matter of fact, she was the first one in her family, because she was from a Greek family, that learned the native Egyptian language. It wasn't Arabic. It was the language that was spoken in Egypt at the time. So she went out of the confines of her family to learn this language. And I think that what you just said, Jenna, about how if more women with an intellectual, I would say intellectual characteristics and polyglots were role models, then maybe these women who are using their brains would be better valued in society.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Another question. What advantages do women have with language learning? Are there natural communication skills that women generally have that they can utilize with languages? How about you, Fasulya? What do you think about this?
I don't think natural communication skills. I read sometimes that women have better communication skills, but I don't really believe in that so much, because they're extrovert people, they're introvert people, and I don't so a woman can be both. A woman can be introvert, can be shy, can be extrovert, can be mixed introvert or extrovert. So I wouldn't say generally that women are always better communicators because it depends on the personal adjectives or the personal talents.
Okay, thank you. So you think it is really based on the individual?
Okay, that's what I say. Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jana?
Yeah, I actually tend to agree with that. You know, you do hear a lot of things about how, you know, women are more talkative or women are better at communication or they're most social and things like that. But, you know, I personally am not, like, I don't feel like I have that great of communication skills. I'm not, like, an extremely social person. And I have, you know, so many female friends, you know, who are, like, more introverted or, you know, who don't do so well in social situations. And so, I don't know, maybe it's possible that there's a general trend of women being more social than men are. I don't know, but I think ultimately it really comes down to the individual person and, you know, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. So, yeah, I agree with what Fasulye said.
Thank you. You know, Jennifer Wagner of IE Languages sent me some information about some research that was done about female and male language learners. And from what she said that there wasn't any conclusive evidence that one gender has any special characteristics with languages than the other. And actually, I had a conversation once with a male polyglot, and he said that one of the things that people said to him were, oh, well, you're a guy. You're not going to learn a lot of languages. That's what girls do.
Wow. That's just the opposite.
Just the opposite, right. So it's good that we're talking about the fact that it's not a gender-based quality that we have with languages. It's really about your own, your personal characteristics and desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the fact that women, you see less women out there learning a lot of languages, it's not so much to do with anything with, like, women's natural ability with languages or anything like that. I think it's problems in our society, you know, and of the way, like, we view women or, like, the way we treat women in society that's causing the problem.
What do you think it is about the way we view women in society that's causing women not to be polyglots? Because as Fasulye mentioned earlier, then, and I agree that the vast majority of language students are women, but when it comes to seeing polyglots, we see a lot fewer women than men. What do you think is happening there?
Well, I think it's... go ahead.
Yeah, it's Jana. Please speak you.
Okay. Well, I think it's like what I was saying earlier, you know, about how we don't have enough positive role models out there for young girls. I think that we teach young girls to value the wrong things, you know. We teach them that the important thing is what you look like, you know, and if you... You know, that's how you get praised and you get valued from people, is when you look pretty, you know, and... You know, I think boys are more encouraged to be ambitious, you know, and they're more encouraged to, you know, accomplish a lot of things because, you know, they can impress people in that way. But for girls, you know, it's different. Like when we talk to little girls, we say to them, oh, you know, you look so pretty. Like, that's such a nice dress you have on. You know, it's just... it's just kind of ingrained into the way that we view women as a society, I think.
I see another point of view because I imagine women in a typical situation, they are married, they have 2-3 children, they do the household, they have a job, and they're mm-hmm. so tied up with everything, and they have to be good at everything together, and there's no time possibility left to develop such a demanding hobby like becoming a polyglot.
Hmm. Actually, it's an interesting point you just made, Fasulye, because Corey Heller from Multilingual Living has just started this language challenge for families to learn languages together. And one of the things that one of the aims is that, you know, parents, especially mothers, are so busy taking care of their kids, and as you said, getting the house together and possibly also working outside of the home, that learning a language is maybe one of the last things on their minds. So what she's doing is getting families to learn together so that the parents are working with the kids. And that way it's a family activity, and it falls into, you know, other aspects of family life. All right, now how about language choices? Do you think that the choices that women and men make about languages may affect what we see out there? For example, it's common to see many more women in college French classes than men. Do you think that maybe women gravitate to languages that may seem to be less useful, or kind of more pretty languages, or languages that maybe not as valuable on the marketplace than what men look for in languages? Fasulia,
I don't really know, because I studied 3 years of Romance languages at university, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say I studied French, Spanish, Italian there, and I wouldn't say that these languages are per se in living in Europe, that these languages are useless or not so much useful. I wouldn't say that, but of course our university classes were full of females, but I don't know, I can't say it for Mandarin is such a hype now, and I can't say if many young females, if they now study Mandarin, I don't know, because I'm not involved in this special language now.
I see.
And I can't estimate. I can only tell about my experiences with the languages I study myself. And the Asiatic languages I don't study, and I have no intentions to go in that direction.
Okay. How about you, Jana? Because you studied both Chinese and Japanese.
Right.
Taiwan and Japan.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's difficult to make statements about, you know, what women as a whole group of people tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's, you know, everybody is different. And so it's hard to make statements like that. But, you know, in my experience, like when I learned Japanese and Chinese, you know, there were both men and women in my classes. And I don't think there was a particular gender imbalance. I don't know, maybe it's true that some women, you know, I know obviously in Europe French is a useful language, but maybe for someone growing up in the United States it's not really so useful. And so I don't know, maybe it's true that more women tend to study French in the United States. Maybe it's also true that more men tend to study a language like German, which is equally as not useful in the United States. I don't really know. But it doesn't seem, I don't know, I guess it depends on how we define the word useful as well. You know, does useful mean like you can use it for your career, you know, or does useful mean, you know, you can just use it in your personal life, or what does useful mean? You know, I think that can mean different things to different people.
Yes, I would add this, because not always something turns to be useful what everybody thinks, because my most useful language for jobs I got is a Dutch language, and nobody told me before that if I studied Dutch that it would be a useful language, and it tended to be more useful for jobs to receive jobs than English. And that nobody would have predicted that. So I'm a bit careful with the word what is really useful. Sometimes languages are useful and nobody has thought about it before.
I think that's a great point. You know, when I studied Italian in college, I really did it for fun. I had no intentions of ever using it professionally. I just liked the way it sounded and I was studying it. You know, and I got some comments from people about, you know, why don't you go study something more useful like Chinese or Japanese? And I never thought I would ever use Italian, but I did get a job because I spoke Italian. I used to work in the Italian wine import business in San Francisco, and I had to use Italian because we had winemakers come from Italy, and I sometimes had to translate for them and speak. And I also had Italian restaurants as clients, and I would speak to, you know, the owners in Italian. So you're right about how you never know if something is going to be beneficial for you financially in the future. You know, I have a question about Japanese, and I've only been to Japan as a tourist. And I have a friend of mine who grew up in Japan. She's American. And she ended up working in Japan, and she speaks the language fluently, and she said it was very difficult to work there. She's an engineer, because she was the only woman in, like, the entire engineering team. And she didn't feel, and she said that, you know, men, American men who were in Japan, they had a much easier time living in Japan because they could much easier find a girlfriend or a wife. But American women, especially as educated as she was and working as an engineer, she said no guy in her department would ever socialize with her outside of work. And so it was very alienating for her to live in that culture, even though she spoke the language fluently. She was, you know, spoke it like a native. She grew up there. So do you think that maybe some women, that the culture of the country and the difficulty for women living in the country may detract females from learning that language or developing native fluent or developing fluency in the language and working there and showing how they know the language, because they may not feel comfortable working in that country?
Well, that's a really interesting question. But first of all, it sounds like your friend was in a really different situation from my situation.
Yeah.
She was an engineer, and, you know, I've never worked in, like, a male-dominated field like engineering or computer science or something. You know, I worked as an English teacher, and so, of course, my coworkers were a pretty equal balance of male and female.
Okay.
And so, it was pretty different for me, and you know, I never really, like, had a problem making friends with Japanese people. I even had a Japanese boyfriend for a while. So it's true that the way that people socialize in Japan is culturally very different. You know, if you're not, like, used to that, and if you don't, like, understand the way that they socialize, you might feel that, like, you're being ostracized or they're not reaching out to you. It's just that there's a different dynamic there. And so it might be difficult for someone to get used to, you know, if they grew up in the West.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a cultural barrier there that can be difficult. Yeah, I think it kind of depends on your personality, maybe. You know, I think that there are different cultures that will resonate differently with different people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, cultures vary, kind of like personalities vary, and some people feel more comfortable in one culture than another. I personally was born and raised in the United States, but I feel like personality-wise, I'm a lot more Japanese than American, and I actually feel more comfortable in Japan than I did in the United States. And so maybe that just depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. I think I really like the word you used, resonate, because I think that languages can resonate with you, like you said, based on your personality and your ways of communicating. But also they resonate with you on a vibrational level, because, you know, all languages are sound, and sounds are vibrations. And the sounds of some languages resonate better with you than the sounds of other languages, which also can make it difficult to learn a language that you don't like to listen to. And I've been in that situation.
Yeah, I think so. Some languages just naturally appeal to you more for some reason.
Yeah, I think for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. What do you think? Do you guys have any last thoughts about what we can do to encourage more women to show their language skills, or anything else you want to talk about on this topic of women and languages, International Women's Day? Fasulya, do you have any last thoughts?
I really much enjoyed our conversation together, and we spoke so many interesting aspects of language learning, the role of females, and what are our own experiences. And I think this is really good that we came together to have this talk, because otherwise there's one female and there's one female, and there are not so much connections among each other.
That's very true. That's very true. You're right. And Jana?
Yeah, I also really enjoyed the conversation, and it's gotten me to think about some issues in some ways that I never thought about them before, and so I hope that people will listen to it and also think about the issues, and if there are more women out there who are learning languages or interested in learning languages, I hope that they will, you know, try to network with us so that we can hear from them too.
Excellent, and that was a great point you made about networking, so all of our contact information is on the screen in this YouTube video, and it's also in the description in the YouTube video. And if you have any comments or any other suggestions that you have about how to promote language learning, you know, to the audience, please put that in your YouTube comments. And so something I was thinking about maybe somebody who doesn't want to make a YouTube video or really be too public about what they're doing, you could also write a blog about your language learning, or about how you use your languages to get jobs. Because, you know, you don't have to make a video, but if you talk about it and you write about it, you may be inspiring other women, and also men, to learn languages. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, or you can make a YouTube video and turn off the comments if you don't want to deal with people's comments, or have a name on the internet that's not your real name, so people don't, you know, won't find you if they do a Google search. So you have some sort of anonymity. And that can help. And, you know, something I wanted to mention is that I think that a huge point about women in language learning is that I think there's a multiplier effect that if a woman learns a language. Now, I don't have children, but if a woman has a child, if she's speaking, you know, her second or third language with the child from a young age, the child is more apt to actually learn that language, or at least be familiar with the sounds of that language, so when he or she is in school later on and has the opportunity to study the language, he or she will already have the exposure to the sounds of the language, and that's very important for developing accents. And if a man speaks various languages, his children may end up learning those languages, but just because of the way our society works, women spend a lot more time raising children than men do. And so there is this multiplier effect about educating women, and that's one of the things I really want to emphasize for women who may be a little bit shy, perhaps, about showing their language skills. If you don't want to show them online, you don't want to write about it, and you have children, think about the impact you can have on your children. And when your children learn languages, then their children will be learning languages, and their friends will hear the languages, and so you're creating a huge domino effect about language learning that you should really value. All right, well, any other thoughts before we wrap up? Thank you guys so much for taking this time to speak and to really think about this topic, because maybe we can have more phone calls in the future and put them on YouTube to encourage women, female language learners. Any last thoughts before we finish?
Yes, I would greet all the watchers of the video, and perhaps we were looking forward to some reactions, and we would like to discuss with other people who watch our video and who see our arguments and experiences. Perhaps they have something interesting for us to add.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I just second that. Thanks, everyone, for watching the video. I don't really have much to add, but I hope that it's helpful to people.
Excellent. So. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Language is Music podcast. You can find out more information about learning languages through music at languageismusic.com.